Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there. Our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hinchcliffe.
I have no clue where that is.
I closed it. Hold on. Let me come back to the map here. Hinchcliffe is just north of Marks on Highway 3.
Delta.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is it really the Delta? Let me see here. I mean, you're only talking. It's in a. Hold on. Where did it go? I just had it. I don't know. There it is. Hinchcliffe is in Quitman County.
I mean, is that not the Delta?
I guess it is. Yeah, I'm thinking like you would think Quitman would be in Quitman County. That's the thing about, I mean, there's a lot of cities like that in Mississippi where like the city is not in the county.
Okay, so what is the Delta? Like, what is the...
So
where does it run?
It's definitely, now that I look at it, it's definitely in the Delta. The Delta... To me, runs, you know.
I mean, because it runs north and south.
Right. Like, so, like from where it is in the state, I don't consider Horn Lake the Delta, right?
No, there is a cutoff point.
Is Tunica in the Delta? I would say yes.
I mean, technically, I guess the land is kind of Delta.
Mm-hmm.
The
resort area, no. But, like, south of that on 61, like...
Yeah, I mean, Tunica's definitely, that area is kind of flat.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would fall under Delta.
All right, so I'm going to say Tunica down to Vicksburg is the Delta.
Yeah, because it definitely runs down towards the southern part of the state.
Right.
Okay, well, here's an actual map.
So between the river and Highway 49 West.
Yeah, Marks is clearly in the Delta.
Yeah, so
and this map actually has like DeSoto County in the Delta.
Well, just, I mean, because it, you know, technically it's right there on the river. You know,
yes.
I get that, but like if you're talking,
Tunica about, is firmly in the Delta.
Tunica is in the Delta down to Vicksburg is what we're going to say.
Okay, DeSoto County is not in the Delta. That's actually Tunica is where it cuts off as far as the. Tunica is like the easternmost point.
Okay.
In the north Mississippi.
Of the Delta.
Being the Delta. Hernando, Senatobia, all that is...
Not the Delta.
It's just east.
Right.
And then it runs all the way down to Vicksburg. Vicksburg is the end of it.
Yes.
So...
It's kind of funny. I mean, the Delta is like this flattest area, you know, one of the flatter areas in the country. And then you have where it ends, Vicksburg is one of the hilliest cities in Vicksburg, in the city, I mean, the state, I mean.
Well, I mean, I guess it is natural.
Yeah.
But you know how they, you know, during the war, a lot of those like trenches and stuff and like the mm-hmm. hills is like man-made.
Yeah, yeah.
But the hills,
yeah, the hills are natural, but there's a lot of trenches around that area that, yeah, they dug in, yeah.
It is interesting that it's basically Delta area, but that place is very hilly.
Yeah. I can't wait to get, you know, we're going to get about at least 10 tweets about what is the Delta tomorrow. I can't
yes.
wait. It'll be good.
There's going to be someone that argues against like geography.
They're going to argue against Vicksburg, I guarantee it.
But it counts. Vicksburg
yeah.
counts.
Yeah, they're going to say it goes further south and maybe like goes all the way down to like Port Gibson or Lorman. I don't know, but I'm saying it ends there. All right. All that to say, Strange Brew Coffee, rated the number one coffee in the city of Starkville. No surprise there. And I actually went to – I'm not going to lie. I had a rough week last week. I had a lot going on. I was tired. Last night, I treated myself to a Maryland milkshake over at Churn and Spoon, and it was great. And I felt a lot better after doing that. I had the calories to spend, so I was like, what the hell? I'm going to get
a Maryland milkshake?
Yeah. Salted caramel ice cream, white chocolate, little whipped cream on top. Really good. Really.
What's the correlation with Maryland?
I don't know, man. I don't make up the names.
Okay.
It's just what
I mean, it sounds great.
That's great, yeah. I mean, you know, but it's fantastic. If you want to treat yourself to Churn and Spoon, I absolutely recommend that. And if you want Strange Brew Coffee every morning, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. That was a long read. CollegeCornerStore.com. We'll try to keep them under the rest of the way. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And I know you're looking for it. You know, Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up, and then we'll be right on the verge of football season. It's time to get some new polos in the rotation. It's that time of year, folks. Time to clean out the closet. And especially, I swear, this is the year, right? This has got to be the last year that you can wear a maroon is all that matters shirt. I can't deal with it anymore. People are still wearing them. No more. Clear them out. Get rid of them. Get yourself something new, something nice. At College Corner, two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, to this day, has not been displaced as Starkville's number one restaurant. The best lunch in town. They've got the best blue plate, one of the best in the state. Great white tablecloth dining at dinner time, and then on Sunday, their Sunday brunch is the place to be, especially this weekend, to treat mom to Sunday brunch at Restaurant Tyler. 16 locations of Priority One Bank throughout Central Mississippi, not in the Delta, just in Central Mississippi. And that's a great thing because that means there's one near you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the nearest branch and open an account with them today. Find out what the difference is when you bank local versus when you bank with a big bank that makes their decisions at the corporate level. You want one that's, you know, you're dealing with. You're talking to those guys every single day. We talk about it in all of our ad reads. We talk about, you know, we want you to shop local. We want you to buy, to eat local. Banking local is also very, very important. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know how good the Priority One Bank app is. You can do a lot more on that than just move money around. So check them out. PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
Hey, did you know this is some breaking news?
Ooh, I like that.
Sum 41 is disbanding.
Sum 41 is one of those bands that I know who they are, but if you said name a Sum 41 song, I couldn't do it.
I mean, I get it.
Sort of the same thing with like Fall Out Boy. I don't know the name. If I hear that, I'm like, okay, I know that's Fall Out Boy, but I don't know the name of their song. Good Charlotte would be another one. I know Good Charlotte had the anthem.
Yes,
I know
the
that.
River. The song called "The River."
Yeah, Eve 6.
What was the Eve 6 song?
Inside Out.
Inside Out. That's right.
I love that song. I won't lie. That's a great.
See,
song.
These are like this. This is like late elementary school, early junior high stuff for me. So I was like college, really, yeah. I was really into Sum 41, Good Charlotte, and that took me in. I mean. They kind of were on the verge of like kind of like punk / emo. Like they did have a little emo.
Just a touch of it, yeah.
I was into emo stuff, like My Chemical Romance. No. Like I wasn't like, you know, hair in front of my eyes.
Were you blaring AFI?
Yeah. Yes, I actually was. I love the Fire Inside, baby. No, I actually love AFI. But yeah, I mean, Sum 41. There's a video out there somewhere where they did a like montage or I don't know what it would be called, melody of Metallica songs.
Really?
And it is really, really good. Like they're actually like super talented. But apparently they are now disbanding and will be working on, according to this release that Kenny Omega shared, and so I saw it.
You're talking worlds colliding here. Jeez
Louise. Yeah, they're working on a final album and then they're finished up. So
well, you know, they had a good run. So congrats to Sum 41 on a fine career.
A good Canadian band.
Yeah. I mean, they're not Rush, but you know.
That's right.
They're in that pantheon, I guess. After with Glass Tiger. whenever Steve likes to make fun of a band, he's like, he likes to throw Glass Tiger into the mix. So that one's for him. We're talking about Zach Arnett today. We're talking about expectations and what is a fair expectation for Zach Arnett in year one. I'll tell you this right now. And I've thought about this a lot. Like, if this team was still, if Mike Leach were still here and they were still running the air raid and everything else was kind of the same, I would say that this team would win 9. I feel really confident in 9. With a first-time head coach, I'm going to go back to 8. I'm going to say 8-4 is my baseline expectation for this team. It could be 7-5. They could screw up a little bit there. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the talent is good enough to win 8. And then to get above 8, you're talking about Zach Arnett is showing off in year one that you've got something there with him, I think. But I think 8 is a fair expectation for Mississippi State, based not only just off Arnett, you know, and maybe in spite of Arnett, because you don't have a lot of you don't have any, you know, background of him as a head coach, but bringing back a veteran quarterback, bringing back 4 starters on the offensive line, bringing back the amount of skill position guys you do, and defensively what you bring back, the fact that you've been pretty successful in the portal, it just feels like, and you have 8 home games, and I know 2 of them are LSU and Alabama, but I'm not. Is LSU probably going to be a loss? Sure. Will LSU be favored coming into that game? Absolutely they will, by probably a touchdown plus. But am I going to sit here on May 8th and tell you that that's an auto loss for State? No, I'm not going to do that. Alabama, yes, that's an auto loss. State's not winning that one. But then you have 6 more home games around that, and then you have your 4 road games are kind of toss-up-ish. I don't know that you'll be favored at South Carolina. You got a chance to be favored at Arkansas and Auburn. I think this could be an 8-win team for Zach Arnett in year one. Is that a fair expectation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, with what you have coming back, and I mean, I know that Mike Leach is no longer here, and I know that Zach Arnett is a first-time head coach, but you have a lot of the same principles on this team as you did with Mike Leach. You know, just like the base – principles, the base values of this team and the mentality that they have is the same. The big thing is going to be how those new philosophies on the offensive side of the ball kind of take hold. And, you know, I'll kind of argue with the people that say, you know, Mississippi State's offense is making a change, you know, that you can't realistically expect this team to compete like they would have with Mike Leach. I'll argue with that and say this offense can be better than it was last year. I mean, I feel like a lot of people that are on the outside looking in haven't really delved in completely to Mississippi State's offense and seen the numbers, because at times that offense was a detriment to this team,
mm-hmm.
not an asset. I mean, there was many games – in which we're sitting around saying the defense is the only reason this team is in this game right now, and the offense really hasn't been able to do anything. So it would have to be really bad for Mississippi State to not be able to achieve, you know, 7 wins. And I think 7 wins is a disappointment. I don't think people are going to be thrilled with 7. I think 8 is a good number. I think people would be happy with 8 wins with a chance to win 9. Even 8 wins after a bowl game, I think, would be okay for a first-year, first-time head coach mm-hmm. in the SEC. But I'm not going to say that they're incapable of winning 9 games, because I still think that they are. But, yeah, I mean, the expectations have diminished a little bit. I think people would be talking about – we've said it time and time again – you know, people would be talking about Mississippi State being a dark horse in the SEC West – had everything kind of stayed where they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the defense you would have a 4th-year defensive coordinator in Zach Arnett coaching a defense that was returning a lot of guys from the previous year. Everybody would know about the defense. The offensive side of the ball, you're in year 4 with Mike Leach, and you have a loaded wide receiver room. You're returning Jaquavis Marks. You're returning your quarterback. Everybody was pretty happy with the direction where things were trending. People would be talking about this team possibly getting to 9, maybe 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
But with the unknown out there with Zach Arnett and Kevin Barbe, there's just going to be a lot of skepticism, I think, with this team. I listened to your interview with Brandon Morsello.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was, kind of on the same page with, we just don't know. We don't really know what to expect out of Kevin Barbe and this offense in year one. But
which is fair.
It is fair.
That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about fair expectations that, Rodgers has such a label as a system quarterback that he is going to have to show off in those first couple of games that he's able to move the football and manage an offense that kind of simultaneously asks less and more of him. Mm-hmm. It's less in that you're not putting everything on him, right? It's not 50, 60 passes a game where he has to move the ball almost every play. But they are going to ask him to make some throws that you haven't asked him to make before. So that's something to measure out for sure. When you think about this team in terms of expectations, one thing that's for sure is I feel very confident that whatever Vegas sets the line at for wins, for over under on wins, and whatever the SEC media predicts Mississippi State to finish, Mississippi State will finish over that. Now the question is, are they going to be predicted seventh? I mean, as it stands right now, probably, which is just crazy to think about. This team won 9 games a season ago, and
who else has that possibility?
Auburn and Arkansas.
I think State could be picked to finish ahead of Auburn.
Yeah, I think Auburn picking up a quarterback in the portal last week will give them a little more juice. People will be like, okay, he got a quarterback. And it doesn't matter that the guy was just he's an above-average quarterback. He's better than Robbie Ashford. But, does that make them an 8-9-win team? Probably not. But this is a 9-win team from last year that returns its quarterback, returns a good chunk of its production, returns a good bit on the defense, and has recruited at its normal profile over the past few years. There's no reason to think they're going to take this huge step back. And I almost wonder, Robbie, and this is maybe fair or unfair to other media, but if Leach had gotten an offer to be the head coach at Oklahoma, that Oklahoma after year one was like Brent Venables, this isn't working. We need to move on. Let's bring Mike Leach back as our head coach. Do people view State differently? Now I will say this. If that had happened, I don't know. Maybe Zach Arnett's not the head coach because maybe you feel like you can just have a search and everything is a little different, right? And maybe when it went down, State felt like stability was very important in that moment and decided to go. But I almost feel like people are like, and Brandon kind of alluded to it in the interview that you mentioned, that there might still be a little bit of emotional weight on Mississippi State this season.
Yeah, that does seem to be kind of a topic of conversation. I think you kind of posed that question the other day. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that they've just forgotten about Mike Leach or they don't care. It feels like this team has been able to transition into this new era because they have a guy that they feel familiar with, and the coaching staff has made that kind of an easy transition. If they would have cleaned house and had a totally new guy in there, it might be different. But I think the fact that you have a guy that was such a huge presence within the team as it was, and Zach Arnett kind of stepping into that role, hasn't been that big of an issue for this team. Because Zach Arnett did a lot of things behind the scenes that people didn't really know about. Players on both sides of the ball were very comfortable with him. And, he was kind of transitioning into a bigger part of the program. Mm-hmm. As a defensive coordinator,
his
next stop was head coach, and that was either going to be this year somewhere else or maybe the next year, but he was getting very close. And I think that just having him in that position has helped this team kind of move past that tough time and move into the present and the new era under Zach Arnett. I don't see it as big of an issue as some of the people that might be on the outside.
What's the floor for this team?
Maybe six.
I guess there's two floors, right? There's everything, you just have a bad season floor, and there's Will Rogers gets hurt floor, right?
Yeah.
Will Rogers gets hurt floor is, I mean, you're talking about the ceiling is like five at that point, I feel.
Yeah, it would. That wouldn't be a very good development.
Yeah.
You know, like, it, you know, Will healthy and you're not decimated by injuries in some form or fashion. Six games.
You think you would lose to Alabama and LSU in that scenario. Probably lose to South Carolina on the road.
Yeah.
And then
maybe lose to Arkansas.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then, you know, because I feel like you're going to win your non-conference games.
Yeah.
So that's four. And then you only get two out of A&M, Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, Ole Miss.
Like, you'll probably beat Kentucky.
Probably. If you had the number at home. And then the Egg Bowl is all – I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, right now, State's going to be favored in the Egg Bowl. But, you know, by the time we get to the end of the season, you just don't ever know.
I'll say five. Five wins is the four.
Oh, so you went down one. Okay.
Well, I'm just thinking.
I think six is the right
answer. Games.
I just feel like with Will Rogers, you're going to get six wins. I just would think. Yeah.
You would think.
So then what's the ceiling? Could this team get to – could they just lose to LSU and Alabama? Could they be 10-2?
I think ceiling is 9.
Yeah. Feels like Alabama and LSU you're going to lose, and then –
It's going to be really tough for this team.
I just feel like there's a game that they'll give away. I mean, not that Arnett's going to have the leech issue of I'm going to give away a game every year. But in year one, you know, you just maybe expect him to have one where that gets away from him.
Well, I mean, we've talked about how the schedule's set up for a long time. But honestly, on the road at South Carolina, on the road in Fayetteville, on the road at Auburn, those are games that if you're playing them at home, you feel great about.
Yeah.
But going on the road and winning those games, that's tough.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, you've won in College Station, but it's on the road.
And you know A&M is super talented. It's just a question of how do they play.
Right. You know. So, it's tough to predict them to go 10-2 against that, especially when we haven't seen enough from this offense to really know. Zach Arnett's in his first year. It's tough to imagine this team going 10-2.
Yeah.
But I do think that 9 wins is possible. Probable, I don't. I think 8 wins is a good, solid place. I think that's a spot that I think State can sit in.
I agree.
But 9 wins is pushing it. But I think that's probably the ceiling.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to agree. I think if they got to 10, I mean, he might be SEC Coach of the Year. 9 would be an incredible job. And, again, I think this team – you know, after the Egg Bowl, I was like, okay, this is a team that can win 9 games in the regular season the next year. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes, you know, not the least of which is the death of Mike Leach. But, by the way, I'm going to say this now, so I'm going to say it once. I feel sometimes it's kind of callous the way we have to talk about this, but, I mean, it's a thing, right? Like, Mike Leach passed away. That is a thing that affects the football team. Affects the season. So I feel like I'm kind of being callous when I'm like, well, you know, Mike Leach died, but I have to say it. So if you're offended by that, I'm just going to go and apologize, but I don't feel like I have any other way around it. It's like a huge elephant in the room that we can't not talk about when we talk about this.
Are there people complained about that?
There aren't, but I feel like there might be. And so I'm just going to get ahead of it. You know what?
It's kind of like the people that's like, what? Like, you know, with anything that we report or we talk about, like, this has already happened. It's time to move on, stuff like that. Well, like, if it has something to do with a certain situation, I'm going to talk about it. It's just like whenever Jeffrey Simmons got drafted in the first round, like, I felt like I had to mention in my story the incident that he had as a high schooler because that had an obvious effect on his draft, along with the fact that he tore his ACL. So I mentioned both of those. People got really upset about mentioning that. Like, I get it. Everybody wants to move past it. And I've moved past it. And it's obvious that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons has moved past it and had a good 3-year career, but it did affect his draft status.
Well, I did the same thing.
So it's kind of like the same thing here.
I did the same thing on this show where I said, look, you know, when he gets drafted, don't be surprised if they show that video. Just don't be surprised by it. And people were like, oh, they won't show that. Why are you talking about that? And then, of course, they showed it, and everybody got offended. I was like, hey, you should have listened. I told you it was going to happen. So, all right.
That kind of stuff has has some relevancy to it. Just like,
agreed,
you know, Mike Leach passing away has relevancy to Mississippi State season.
So, all right, let's move on into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're looking for great weeknight meals for your family, make beef the star of the show. Your family will thank you. Great nutritious meals and, of course, delicious meals. That's what you're looking for when you add beef to the mix. If you're looking for recipes, there's one place great to find them. That's msbeef.org. Not only that, you can find out a lot more of the about information about our Mississippi beef producers. 15,000 of them here in our state, producing almost $500 million a year worth of agribusiness. That's a big deal in our state. Beef is a big deal in our state. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you know full well you want to make a trip to Two Brothers. You want smoked wings. You want pork rind nachos. You want a prime rib sandwich. Well, damn, now I want those things too. I shouldn't have said them out loud. So I may have to make a trip there in the very near future. Hope to see you there. Hope to see you in the heart of the Cotton District enjoying some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service. Every business promises it to you. Advantage Business Systems, they deliver it to you. And they have for over 48 years. When you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need anything else, you know, you need service or you need to, you know, find out information, anything, you just get to call them back. And it's not dealing with a call center that's going to put you on hold for 30, 40 minutes. It's not an out-of-state technician who has to make an appointment and maybe he'll be there and maybe he won't. It's great Mississippi people just like you. So give them a call today. Find out what kind of difference they'll make for you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. The Rogue and their collegiate collection. That's the polos and pullovers you want. Father's Day, just over a month away. Dads, let your family know. Don't be going and getting them an Adidas polo with a gigantic M State covering their whole body. They don't want to look like a superhero. Dad can be your superhero. He doesn't have to dress like one. Get a great, stylish polo with the logos you want. Get it at The Rogue. Shop at The Rogue in Jackson. Shop online at therogue.com. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. Starkville's newest breakfast spot is taking off, guys. And if you haven't been there yet, you're missing out. Dolce at 509 University Drive. Incredible, incredible food there in the mornings and in the afternoons, too, for what that's worth. They have a great and unique selection of bagels and breakfast sandwiches, stuff like you've never had before. And, of course, you need that morning cup of coffee. They've got some of the best in town. For lunch, artisanal grilled cheese sandwiches. And then if you just want a little sweet treat, the gelato, always good. The best in the city. So whatever time of day it is, if you're looking for something to tide you over, you're looking for a treat for yourself, head over to 509 University Drive and enjoy a trip to Dolce. We got a little bit of a surprise for you today. You know, we're 14 weeks out from the first weekend for week one of college football, which means, you know, means we would start our SEC previews 2 weeks from now. But we decided, what the hell? We're going to go ahead and bring Texas and Oklahoma into the fold here just to give us a little extra content. Plus, it's college football, so why not? So we are going to start off our SEC previews with a team not quite in the SEC just yet, but it's the Texas Longhorns. Shout out to Tyler Horka, if you're listening, to my handsome young son. Horns up to you, buddy. Let's dive in. Texas, you know, a season ago, not bad. Not bad. I think, you know, I think they were a team that they underachieved a bit. Part of that was because of the injury to Quinn Ewers. I honestly still think that if he doesn't get hurt in that Alabama game, I think they win that game.
Yes.
But 8-4 in the regular season, I mean, they lose a bowl game to a 10-win Washington team. That was a really good Washington team. And, you know, a team that season had some ups and downs. They beat Kansas State. They only lost to TCU by 7. They crushed Oklahoma, which, you know, is always a big deal for them. But they lost to Texas Tech, not great. Lost to Oklahoma State. So, like I said, some ups and downs. This year, obviously, Quinn Ewers back. I think he'll hold on to that starting job. Doesn't appear like Arch Manning's going to get it this year, which I honestly think, Robbie, has been part of the plan. I think that's part of the reason he picked Texas. He's like, I can go there, I'll redshirt, and then I'll take over. You know, because Arch Manning is just not the typical – the money's not an issue for him, right? He's not dying to get to the NFL to buy mom a house.
Right.
He's good. So, you know, the process can be fine for him. So let's see. Let's take a look at the Longhorns and what they're doing this year. And do they have a chance in their final year in the Big 12? They start off with Rice. They'll win that. And then week two, there it is. They travel to Alabama. You couldn't be getting Alabama at a better time, right? That early in the season, whoever the quarterback is, they're not going to have figured everything out just yet. Obviously a hostile environment, but I'm not going to take Texas as we sit here today. But when we get to the season, and I might, and also I won't be surprised at all if Texas finds a way to win that game, but I'll take Alabama today.
You want me to pick?
I do want you to pick.
Yeah, I'm taking Bama too.
Yeah,
one being at Bama, I think should be the difference.
We're not keeping tabs on these in terms of for dinner or anything, but we will go ahead and make our picks. Yeah. All right, so 1-1, and then they move on to Wyoming. They'll get that one, and then they enter conference play with a trip to Baylor. Yeah, Baylor is a team that. I don't know. I never know what to expect from them. Like, there are years where you're like, Baylor, you look up and Baylor's won like 10 games. And I love Aranda. I think he's a great coach. But they were disappointing a season ago. I'll take Texas to go on the road and get that
one. Yeah, I mean, at this stage, you better win that game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you're 2-2 at this point, then now you're looking at it's going to be a problem season. You know? Then a trip to Kansas. I didn't see. I don't know. Let me bring that back up. What did Kansas do to Texas last year? they didn't play last year. So, oh, yeah, they did. No, they did. And they Texas won big, 55-14. I'll take the Longhorns there.
So yeah, that traditionally has been a one-sided affair.
Yeah, although the last few years, Kansas has gotten a couple wins. But, yes, now we've got Texas at 4-1 going into the Red River Shootout with Oklahoma. We're going to do Oklahoma next week, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, man, I worry about Brent Venables. I don't know that that's going to work out for him there. I'm going to take Texas to get another win here.
I definitely have way more faith in Sarkisian than Brent Venables, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
With the talent that Oklahoma has, for Venables to have the season they did last year, and they never really looked like very good.
We talked about some unacceptable things yesterday. There's one right there.
Yeah.
Oklahoma with that talent going 6-6, unacceptable. And they lost this game last year 49-0. And I don't know that Texas would beat them again like that, but
I'm going with Texas again.
Texas again. And then some new teams in the conference for the Longhorns. They'll travel. When's the last time Texas played at Houston? Got to be back in the Southwest Conference days. Might have been Andre Ware at quarterback for the Cougars the last time the Longhorns came to the city of Houston for a game with them. Houston's going to be good, but I'll definitely take Texas to win. All of a sudden, I'm looking up here, Robbie. I've got Texas 6-1 with a loss at Alabama.
Yeah. Oh,
Texas is back at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know much about Houston next year.
Mm-hmm.
Holgerson's had a good career there.
Yeah. Old Holgo, man. Love it.
I don't know. I think I'd go with Texas there.
Okay. So we both got them 6-1. And then they bring in another of their new conference mates, BYU.
If that was in Provo, I would take BYU, but it's in Austin.
It's in Austin.
So I'm going to go with Texas there too.
7-1. We've got the Longhorns. At this point, the hype machine is out of control, right?
This is a very favorable schedule outside of
this
going to Alabama.
Yeah, if they were playing almost literally anybody else, like outside of Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, you would probably have Texas undefeated at this point. I'm going to give them a loss here, though. I'm a big fan of Kansas State and what they do. I love Chris Klieman. I think he's a great coach. I think the Longhorns will get got here at home. I'll take Kansas State to win that game.
I could see that, too. I don't know. Like, I'm not super high on Texas, but like I just the schedule is just not blowing me away.
Well, I mean, it shouldn't. It's a Big 12 schedule. What do you want?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I want to give them some more losses, but I just don't see a ton on here.
Yeah. So
I think they can win that game.
Woo! Out of
but
control.
I think they're going to lose at TCU.
That's the next week. They play at TCU. I mean, the TCU is revamping and rebuilding a little bit, but Sonny Dykes just a good coach. I'm with you. I'm going to have Texas two straight losses here. I'll have them. They'll be, I guess, 8-3 in my book at that point. No, 7-3. You've got it, but you're going to have them 8-2 now.
Yes.
Okay. At Iowa State. Go ahead.
I think they're going to lose one of the next two games, one of the final two games. Iowa State, I don't think we're very good last year, but that's
Matt Campbell's a good coach, and that's a tricky late in the year environment.
And that's a tough place to play.
It is. And then they go. Then they have Texas Tech at home. I think they'll get Texas Tech at home. I think they'll win their last two. But if you want to say they're going to lose to Iowa State, I'm not going to argue too much against you.
Like I don't at this point, I can't pinpoint all the like wins and losses, but I think they're going to go like 9-3.
All right, so you've
like
got
I don't really like I could see it shaking out differently in all these games, and I don't really put a whole lot of stock in predicting this game and this game in May.
Right,
but I think that they're going to be like 9-3. That's just I haven't delved into them, but that I mean. Here's the numbers, Brian. I looked these up. State since 2010, when State first got to a bowl game, MSU has 99 wins since 2010. Texas has 91.
Yeah.
Both teams have one 10-win season. State is 8-5 in bowl games. Texas is 6-3. State has been a better program since 2010 than Texas.
Yeah.
With Texas's infinite resources in a conference that's not nearly as stacked as the SEC. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, the resources will grow a little bit in the SEC, but you're now going to be taken down a notch.
Yeah.
You're no longer the big dog.
Agreed.
You have the brand, but I don't see them flourishing in the SEC. I really don't. And maybe that's naive of me, but you're going to a better conference. You've already had great resources. You're going to a better conference, top to bottom. You're going to have more resources, but so does everyone else. Why are we supposed to think that Texas is going to be this massive power in the SEC?
We haven't
seen it with Missouri. We haven't seen it with A&M. I don't think we'll see it with Texas or Oklahoma either. I just don't.
I would have said prior to last year that Oklahoma could come in and be a team that year in, year out, you know, would compete. But after last year, I'm like, they got to get a better coach in there. I don't see Venables as a long-term answer for them. But I think we're both going to say Texas, 9-3. So that's our first SEC prediction. That's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah.
So next week we'll do Oklahoma, and then we'll get into the actual conference. So 2 weeks into the actual SEC, and then 2 weeks after that, our first opponent preview. We'll talk about the Ole Miss Rebels, the Egg Bowl, as we start that up. So a lot of fun stuff coming up here on Thunder and Lightning. Tomorrow, speaking of fun stuff, is the Rumblings. So get your questions in now. Robbie and I will be happy to answer them, and we'll do another great mailbag tomorrow on the show. Till then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.